No.
No.
Elder! No! Okay, no.
Did you lose it when you were in school?
I did. I actually lost it in school. I saw someone else using it and I was like, that's mine. Like, I know that's mine.
We have a bunch of guests for today's episode. So without any further ado, we'd like to introduce Franz Cruz and Tyrone de Guzman. So Franz, can you tell us something about yourself?
Oh, hello. So I'm Franz, currently graduating student from UP Diliman. So about to be a corporate slave.
Thoughts? You?
I'm quite the opposite. So I was a freshman, so starting second year in UP Diliman. Not yet about to be a corporate slave. Not yet.
Okay, that's great. And if you guys heard it, they're students currently or just about to enter corporate enslavement. I'm sorry, because that's the theme. But our theme today is not corporate. Our theme is actually just pens and students, because apparently these two of our former students are into fountain pens. So might as well, right? Take advantage of your student capital. I'm sorry, we're still going with the Marxist metaphor, but yeah, all right, so that's it.
Yeah, so we have in this episode our former students. Interestingly, one was was my student who wrote a research paper about fountain pens and was actually penabling me already when he was in grade 12, but I just didn't pay too much attention about fountain pens back then.
And the other one, Thoughts, just recently, randomly messaged me and he was talking about his recent acquisitions in the last year. And he'll get to talk about that in a short bit. Because like I had no idea that Thoughts would suddenly become, you know, in this a part of this community. And oh God, the start of the rabbit hole, Thoughts. Oh,
get ready. Unfortunately. Or fortunately.
Okay, to start off our episode, we have this segment called New Discovery, wherein we're going to share our most recent discovery about fountain pens, ink, stationery, or content creators, and even pen influencers in the community. So maybe we can invite who, younger, older first.
Let's go younger. By age, because that means I'm last. Thank you. Okay, youngest go first. To the younger.
Okay. First. Okay, so recently I got a new pen, Narwhal Skullkill, or if that's what you call it. So it's a very pretty pen. It looks like one of the paintings of Van Gogh or something like that. But so this is my first pen that the nib is actually like it didn't come smooth from the box. So it was very dry and stuff. So right now it's an expensive paperweight on my desk. So that's one of my discoveries. Like, it's the first time I had a pen that was actually it didn't start properly. And yeah, so that's one of my discoveries. And when I approached the seller, he was like, you should use a wetter ink or something, but that wasn't like one of my problems with my other fountain pen. So recent discovery, I guess there's a first for everything. So yeah.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine, Thoughts. You know, I remember when I had my first fountain pen, I also had one that was very dry. It was a Moon Man. There are videos on YouTube. You just gotta check it out where they try to force flex it a bit.
That's true.
Separate. I think the tines are tight. Is that right?
Yeah.
It can be misaligned. I mean, we can't really see it with our naked eye, but if you actually zoom in really, really close, you might end up seeing that it's actually misaligned. So yeah, that's right. There's a first for everything.
Yeah. So I'll try that soon. I'm gonna resort to that very soon because it really annoys me. Like, I want to use the pen, but I can't. So, yeah.
Good luck, thoughts. Oh, Franz, what about you?
Okay, yeah. On my end, I was able to stumble upon this article. It's about how India's artisanal fountain pens are making their mark. So, I've never known that India actually has a lot of pen makers. I've always thought it's just Ranga, if you've heard of Ranga. But yeah, actually, there's a lot of pen makers there, and they're getting traction from the foreign market also. I remember like reading one that they have like a 2-year wait list already, and they're pretty affordable compared to like from Japan and from those other Western pen makers. So yeah, I think some examples that I saw were Phosphor pens, ASA pens, Lotus pens, Guiden pen. So yeah, you don't really hear about them, but they've actually been making pens around since the 40s even. So it's like a family thing. So yeah, that's pretty interesting for me. It's something new for me, and so something to discover. Yeah. I can send the link later of the article. Yeah.
Actually, your new discovery pretty much is also my new discovery now. Because to be honest, my new discovery is, it's not really a new discovery, but it's more of like a discovery of a state of being when it comes to fountain pens. You know, that phase wherein you're just consistently acquiring, which maybe thoughts is experiencing right now. You know, you just keep on buying, you keep on looking at pens. And then now I'm in a state wherein I don't need this pen, or I don't need it right now, or maybe it's not working out for me right now. I've tried Japanese pens with Japanese nibs, and then those with Western nibs, and maybe that's why it's a new discovery related to Francis' point, because maybe I will end up trying Indian pens in the future. So there. So yeah, very boring new discovery for me, but I think everyone experiences that from time to time.
We're recording this on July 8th, so 7/7 sales have just taken place, and I have. Someone giggled. Thoughts just giggled. Guilty. I too am guilty. Because honestly, like, I've just been really wanting to get, what do we call it in Tagalog? Pangtawid. Okay. To get us across the gap of buying one thing to the next. Because like, my spending habits are kind of, they're actually moderate. I actually only buy things up to 3 times a month, and they're small things, so it's not really that bad. But that has nothing to do with my noob discovery, because my noob discovery is this. Okay, you can't see it, guys, but I'm holding it up to the camera right now. This is in Japanese, but I'll do my best estimate of what it is. It's pink ink, okay, from Ishimaru Bun, which is in, what are the two places in Japan that got Nagasaki and
Hiroshima.
I think Ishimaru Bun is from Hiroshima. And this particular ink that I have in my hand is inspired by pickled ginger.
Pickled ginger.
Like the side that you get when you get your sushi plate, right? It's beside the wasabi and the fuel leaf. And it also smells like ginger. It smells like ginger when you use it. So like, my boyfriend actually got this, I think, last month. And then immediately when he got it, I took it. Of course. So that's the perk. And I only used it this month. So I'm so happy about it. It's so extraordinary. Plus, I've never had a scented ink. The scent fades away almost immediately upon setting the ink down on the page. But the novelty is really there. You can open the bottle and smells like ginger. Smells like medicine. Beautiful. That's my new discovery.
Beautiful. It's good to really have a partner who's also into fountain pens. At least you can trade stuff.
Or rather steal stuff, as I intend to do.
You can what do they call it? Beg, steal, borrow, whichever works.
Okay, so that's it for our noob discoveries today. Don't worry, we will add links in our description for all of them. And we're going to move on because we haven't talked to these gentlemen. I was going to say kids, but obviously they're not anymore.
You were going to say kids.
I know, my tendency is to say kids, but yeah. We're now going to catch up with these gentlemen who will now try to get used to calling us by our first names throughout the episode. Good luck. Good luck. Okay, so we're going to start out. I think if you've listened to our previous episodes, one of our most basic questions is really, how do you get started on your pen journey? So, like, get to it, guys. How do you start? Anyone can take the floor.
Okay, I'll start. So, ever since I was younger, actually, it was something I've been having for a while now, probably like starting grade 9, grade 10. So I don't know, I found fountain pens cool, but I never really got one because my mom was like, oh, it's an expensive novelty or something like that. So I was like, yeah, I found it cool. And I decided to get one, I think, grade 11 or some sort like that. But I never really used it. I wasn't using it a lot because I didn't have, like, I was so excited to get a fountain pen. And when I got one, I was like, what's this? I didn't know how to write with a fountain pen. I was like, what? Walang kwenta or something. At the end of senior high school, so I decided, I panicked, I impulse bought a Hongtian. So the my first fountain pen was TUSB Diamond 580, and then after that I got a Hongtian 6013. Yeah, it was an impulse decision. Like, I was like, oh, this pen looks nice, and then like one day after, I had the pen in my hand. So I think that's when I really appreciated fountain pens, because at the start, for me, as a student, the Diamond 580 was like not the cheapest thing, especially for a pen. So I don't think I was using it as it should have been. And I think I only got to actually use it when I got the Hongtian, because I was like, the nib is 100 pesos. So I could have used it all I want. So yeah, and I think that was when I really got in fountain pens. And yeah, it has been an interesting, you know, journey so far. How about you, Franz?
Oh yeah, my journey. Ever since we were allowed to use ballpoint pens in school, I've already been into pens, but I was into ballpoint pens. Every year, I would go to the distributor of Pilot pens here in the Philippines, in Binondo, Cosmos Bazaar. That's every year. But around 2014, if I remember right, I accidentally, quote-unquote, bought a fountain pen. Because the sales lady said, I thought the sales lady said 300 pesos, but it's apparently 1,300, but she already opened it. So I didn't buy that much that day. But yeah, so when I saw the bill, I was like, oh, okay, so there's an extra. I'll take it na lang. I didn't use it for a few months because I was like, what the hell is this? Like, I don't know how to use it. I didn't even have ink yet that time, no cartridge. So yeah, and then I started researching about it around 2015, and then I was pretty much it's already the start of the rabbit hole. That was a Pilot Prera, that was the one I bought. I don't have it anymore because I was like buying other pens, but that was the start of my journey. Around 2015, I think that would be my acquisition phase, 2015. I think I was around second year high school. Yeah, I was pretty much the only one in the batch doing that. Pretty weird, but that was how I took down notes before, ever since, yeah, in high school. At the time, Fountain Pen Network was still a forum. It was still a website. No Facebook group yet. So we would discuss there, and then the wala pang palengke. It's still in the forum also. So it was pretty much ancient technology at that time. Yeah, and yeah, I'm like a senior, like old member, but not still young.
It's very amusing, Franz, because technically you're the most veteran, okay, pen collector in this Zoom room right now. You've been collecting since 2014. Do you feel like you're past your acquisition phase?
I actually am past my acquisition phase. My last pen purchase was in 2019. I'm sure it's gonna circle back. When I start earning my own money, I'm sure I'm gonna be able to buy. My purchases would be more. I think it would have more of a theme also. So let's see. I'm excited to go back to the hobby, actually. It's just that right now I'm focusing on other hobbies.
Pandemic hobbies. Yeah. Okay. Wow. The entire spectrum, both ends of the spectrum are now exposed. We've got Thoughts, who's at the start. Thoughts, there will be further acquisitions. Basement. Fix your times. And France is just about to circle back. So I don't know where we are, Ryan. How do you feel about this?
Oh, for us, I think we're in the middle. When it comes to this full pen journey, I think we're just in the middle. But then again, I do think that the whole pen journey is not, it's actually like a hero's journey. When you think about the pen acquisition, you know, you're going to go to the end and you're going to realize, oh no, there's another calling, and then you're going to win and there's some form of redemption, and then there's a new pen. So yeah, it's really a cycle. It's like a circle that goes round and round and round, but it's a fun hobby. And for Thoughts, who's just starting out, and for Franz, who hopefully soon, once he's already a corporate slave, we'll start shelling out to get money to buy to buy fountain pens. So, Franz, I think maybe you're not buying any pens yet because you're reserving for a big purchase once you're already working. Is that right?
Maybe true. Yeah, I think we're going to discuss the Grail pens later, right? So that I have a few in mind. It's just that at my stage in life, so old now, but at my stage in life, while I'm starting my job, I really have to really think about my purchases, especially since I already have like an enough amount of pens. So yeah, I think it's gonna really depend on if I see a good deal, then I'll snatch it. If not, then it can wait.
So what's your everyday pen, Franz, and Thoughts?
Okay, yeah, I'll go. So I have so this is my pen case. It's, what is this? Python leather, I think. Yeah, Python leather from Indonesia. So usually I would carry 3 fountain pens and 1 ballpoint pen and then 1 Pahiram pen. Mm-hmm. Right? The Pahiram pen is very important because someone will always ask you for a pen and I cannot let them like borrow my other pens. So it's pretty convenient. So this pen case has 5 slots. So my ballpoint and 3 pens. Actually this ballpoint pen I've had for 7 years. It's my everyday ballpoint pen. Yeah. So yeah, in this pen case, I currently have Morita Store Sailor Pro Gear. And then I have a Parker Duofold Centennial. This is from the 80s. And then Vanishing Point, of course. This is the gunmetal with the black matte trim. Yeah. So, yeah, I usually categorize my pens, my three fountain pens, into one chunky pen, one practical pen, and then one whatever just floats my boat. So, yeah, I can discuss later the my other pens, but right now these are my pens. Yeah, I just use it here at home.
So what's your pahiram pen? I'm curious, fans.
My pahiram pen would usually be another ballpoint pen. It's still nice. From the years that I was collecting ballpoint pens right before fountain pens. So I think they should be happy if they borrow my pens. But I make sure that they return the pen because I've lent them my 7-year-old pen and I've lost this twice, but it always comes back. So I think this is my lucky charm.
Wow. Yeah. Did you lose it when you were in school?
I did. I actually lost it in school. I saw someone else using it and I was like, that's mine. Like, I know that's mine. Yeah. Because I'm the only one, I'm the only one who has that pen. I usually put a mark inside the ink, the refillable ink, so that I know it's mine. Yeah.
These are pro tips, Franz. Thanks for telling us. Because I have lost a pen fairly recently and I should have had the pahiram pen that I was willing to lose. So thank you. Pahiram, by the way, audience, in Tagalog, I mean, is a Tagalog term, but when you translate it into English, means borrow. Borrow. So it's a pen that's set to be borrowed. But
I think I was traumatized. And that's why now I have a pahiram pen, just because I lent my fountain pens before. And then, like when I watch people use my pens, it's like super pressure. And I was like, oh, no, no. So yeah, I immediately thought about bringing a pahiram pen.
I'm trying to remember, Francis, if I borrowed your pen before. Parang never naman, no?
No, you did not.
I never borrowed your pen.
Yeah, I think you weren't interested yet that time.
Yeah, I wasn't interested yet. I was more interested with how you wrote your research paper about how about for you, thoughts? What are your everyday carry pens?
Okay, so right now I only have I'll tell you the story of my fourth fountain pen. So I only have four fountain pens. I have, initially, I was going to stop at three. I was like, okay, this is getting out of hand. I'm going to stop. We're not buying any more pens, okay? Okay, but so the ones I use every day is the Hongtian, this one, 60, I think 13. Yeah, it's the beater pen. I would bring it everywhere because it's not really like as expensive as the other pens. And I use the Twisby Diamond 580. It's a very nice pen. So, and my favorite ink. So at that point, when I was having my fountain pen phase, even if I didn't have the fountain pen yet itself, like before I was like, what's this? I was already like obsessing over like inks and colors and papers. There's so many things to factor. And I don't know, I really liked it because of that fact that there's so many things to factor. So my favorite color currently is the Noodler's, I don't know how you pronounce it, Skretegi. It's a dark green, it's a very black green, and the Diamine Eclipse. So I usually like inks that are, it looks professional, but it's like, you know, it still has like, you can, it's still fun in a sense, you know, it's quirky or so, if you may. Anyways, so I recently got the, what do you call it, the Snarwhal Skullkill. So it's, when I saw it on Shopee, it was like the last stock. And I was like, oh, it's a nice pen. I want, yeah. So I ordered it. But when I filled it up, it was like, why is it not writing properly? why is it not writing? Yeah. So I haven't had it fixed yet, so I'm going to try like the you know, the tutorials on YouTube, like the pen habit, so like the fixing the tines and stuff. So I haven't tried that yet. So, you know, there's a first for everything. And okay, so the story of my new fountain pen. So I actually forgot about the 7/7 sale. So thank God, right? I actually forgot about it. But so I was in my uncle's house the other day and I was talking about, I have this new hobby. I'm writing with fountain pens, yeah, whatever. And then like that was like the first sign that told me like, oh, you should talk about pens. Because I was like debating like whether I should tell my uncle like I'm into pens or something like that. And then I was like, okay, I'll just tell him. So I was like showing him my fountain pens. And he was like, I have a fountain pen. You can have it. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Nice. Okay. That's my fourth fountain pen. But okay. So he got it like free from Seiko or something. So it's a platinum placer, I think. Yeah. Yeah. So yes, new pen. And I didn't have to spend for it. So I said I would stop at 5, but at three, not 5. But I guess, you know, it wasn't meant to be stopped at 3. So yeah.
Yeah, your Freudian slip thoughts meant that you'll have 5 very soon. Like I can already foresee.
Very soon.
Yeah, and your place
soon enough.
Your place here is one of the more recent releases. It's like ombre midnight bluish, I think. So like I'll look for the link so that we can post it. And just to, you know, make Thoughts' anecdote a little more vivid, he actually talked to me when he got his narwhal. That is how I found out that he had been in this rabbit hole for quite a while. And he was like, sure. Okay, so I ended up getting a narwhal and it's pretty, but the nib, it is not flowing well. And then I go full mom. I go full mom mode. And it's like, if you can see it right now, it's just a continuous stream of links and like pictures of how to fix the tines. And it's like, I'm enumerating things that you can do. Option 1, change the ink to anything pilot. Okay. Option 2, check for tine alignment. There is a way to do it. A, B, C, and D. Links to the pen habit. Links to SBE Brown. So on and so forth. And I'm just like, I care, child. Please, do it soon.
Wow, that's like a mojo for fountain pens.
You can't take the teacher out.
Did you just give him an asynchronous task?
Yes. And he hasn't done it yet, out of fear.
I haven't accomplished it yet.
But you know, Thoughts, that specific pen, the Placier, sorry, my pronunciation may be wrong. That's actually a nice one. What nib is it?
I have not checked actually. Let's open it.
Okay, let's open. Whichever nib size it is, it's actually a very smooth pen. So I remember I was at a point where I wanted to stop fountain pens and I got one place here accidentally. Then it was so nice. It's like, oh my goodness, this nib is so nice. So because I got it at a time when I also got a Moon Man and I got disappointed with the Moon Man. So I said, maybe I should just stop here. And then I accidentally bought a place here because I remember they had it on sale in Scribe before. Then they delivered it to my house on the same day that I ordered it on the website. Really, really weird, but it was such a nice, surprise. So that pretty much started again this whole liking and interest in fountain pens. So maybe that's going to be the same thing for you.
Which leads me to maybe another question. Like, obviously, Thoughts has already said that he currently has 4 pens, 1 accidental pen. And by the way, guys, I'm loving how we're just using the term accident many times in our pen acquisition phases. But accident, I guess, is our operational term. How many pens do you have right now, Franz? I guess I'm just curious.
Actually, I haven't really counted. It's around 20. Or 20 plus. Yeah. yeah, at some point I had around 50, but you know, I wanted to get more expensive pens, so I had to sell off the ones that I did not really like anymore.
Makes sense. Maybe I will get to that point sometime soon. I don't know, Ryan. How many pens do you have at this point after your curation? I'm just curious.
Don't ask me that question. No, <I'm just> Well, okay. Curation. I honestly have 21 pens. But I am still going to let go of some pens. Not because I don't like them, it's just that I don't get to use them that much anymore, so parang sayang. And I think I've realized that I don't really want to collect too many Kaweco pens. I just need a couple of EDCs and I'm good to go.
That's true. So to anyone who is in the Philippines, Fountain Pen Palenque, Ryan's been posting a few. Like, you can get dibs. I'm just like pimping those pens out so that they sell immediately as well.
Yeah, guys, I sell my pens at a low price. I always consider how much I bought it and also how much people may be willing to buy it, considering also the state of the pen. So yeah. So I think I'm one of the low, usually one of the people who sell pens who sell it at a low price, the lower price, because I want, of course, people to get excited that they're getting a deal, a good deal. So yeah.
That's true. And Ryan always has the box. Apparently the box has an impact on the price. So remember
that. Yeah, I think so. Actually, I did notice that some people, I think there's a Pelican on sale in Palenque. No one wants to buy it because there's no box.
I know. And it's your exact M400. I think it's the same one. And like without the box, that's like, I don't know, 1/5, 1/6 of the price already for some reason. So we don't understand it. We're still noobs in pen sales. We're more on the consumer end. And speaking of consumer life. What's your grail, guys? What's your grail? Franz is giggling. What does this mean?
Oh, actually, I think we have the same grail with Yujika, the Pilot Custom Orochi Vermilion. I really want that. I was able to try it in person with my friends from the network. It was so nice. It's chunky. It writes really well, and the color is something else. It's out of this world. Yeah. I think the Prime Minister before used the black version of that, but the red one really just is something else. Yeah. So in the near future, hopefully I can get one. It's quite expensive. Yeah. Besides that, I actually also want at least one Mont Blanc great characters. On my end, I like the Beatles one. I also like the Miles Davis one. But the Beatles is really nice for me just because it's colorful. So it's a conversation starter. Maybe one more grail pen, it would be the Nakaya. Any Nakaya, I just want to get one Nakaya. Yeah.
I like that. I like that list. Obviously, because I'm biased towards the Pilot Custom Sushi. So, good taste, Franz. Good taste.
It's really nice.
Thoughts. Have you ever thought about what your grail would be? I mean, we know that you're like 4 pens in. But there's no harm in being ambitious.
So far, I don't think I really thought about it that much yet. I think if you ask me, like, what would be my grail pen right now, I would tell you the Hongtian, because it's the one that got me back into, like, actually using the fountain pen, right? So, but I haven't really, thought of getting quite a more expensive, higher end pen, mainly because I don't think my parents would approve also. And I think I would be conscious to bring such, you know, to use an expensive pen. But we'll see in the future, like, how the hobby develops and stuff. But as of now, I would say the Hongtian, just because, you know, it really got me to start the hobby again. So, yeah.
I get you. And your Grail pen doesn't have to be expensive, by the way. It's just something that's quite inaccessible to you, which is currently my Grail has shifted, of course, to the Moonman Q1. Because every time one is posted, I know.
It disappears.
Every time one is posted, it disappears as fast as as fast as an Abra. Is that the Pokemon that like you go into the grass and then suddenly it's just there and then it leaves you after one move? That's the Moonman Q1 to me right now. Horrible.
You want it pala, sana pala abangan ko eh. I will watch out for the next post of the Moonman. I remember Melissa Kim was selling it. I think she was selling it at a low price compared to the other ones who were selling it. So I should have got one for you already. I should have reserved it already for you.
Fine. I'm also thinking of just biting the bullet and actually risking buying, because I've never bought from AliExpress. So I might actually go ahead and go there instead, because it's really way cheaper when it comes straight from the source. So wish me luck, guys, or wish my budgeting skills. Financial predictions, you know, being a mindful adult. Okay. Wish me success in that. Next question. Oh my God.
So yeah, our next question is, what's the most challenging thing about being a young or new person in the hobby? Like probably for France, that would be, yeah, actually it's both ways. But I think for France it's going to be you're young, but you're pretty old in the hobby. And then we have Thoughts here, who's young and he's also new to the hobby.
Yeah, let's face it. I think money is the problem. Like if you're young, it would be limited money. There's a lot of pens out there, really nice pens, and they're all just out of budget. The same can be said for inks and paper, because the paper isn't cheap. You have to get the right paper for your pens to, so you can really enjoy your pens. For inks, also pretty expensive. Actually, fun fact, I've never finished a bottle of ink. So I still, all the inks I have, still there. Haven't finished any. But yeah, inks are pretty expensive too. If you calculate all the costs that you have with the student budget, yeah, you're going to have to sacrifice a bit with, I don't know, with your food, with your other expenses. Yeah, I guess also as a new person in the hobby, if ever, I think it would be, there's a lot of content out there and you really need to know like who to trust. Yeah, because there are a lot of people who are just reliant on Facebook posts and YouTube, but it really helps to have a connection with any member in the community, and you can discuss. It's healthy, and it's nice to meet new people also that share the same passion as you with pens.
So as someone who's young in both like the hobby and as a person, I think I don't think I've really experienced like any difficulties yet, but probably maybe it's where I use my pen. And so it's not like I can go out anyways, but I haven't really used my pen in outside situations yet. So I've only used it like, you know, in my house when I'm taking notes or when I just simply want to like relax and use the pen. So I think that's maybe like I want to get to use it more in outside situations other than just like, you know, the fabricated situation that is my room. So yeah.
Room as fabricated situation. That's totally cool.
Yeah, it makes sense though. Like, I mean, our rooms are fabricated offices, classrooms. It's all an illusion, but at least our pens are safe. I guess that's the only thing that that's the positive thing about staying at home, is that our pens are safe. But there's that, you know, actually one of the things I think I'm missing, or at least I want, is to have that experience of like bringing my pens out and then showing it to people, like, oh, look at my pens. Look at my pens, guys. Even if you don't care. Like, look at my pens. I think that that's one of the fun things about being back to normal. Like, just get to bring out your pens without worrying that you might end up destroying it because your hands were still soaked with alcohol, rubbing alcohol, I mean, and then you end up touching your pen. So I think that's gonna damage it.
And speaking of communication, or like being part of a community, and I'm trying to keep up with the youngins today, or in this year, we learned about Discord. So apparently Fountain Pen Network Philippines also has a Discord channel. Okay, so I'll ask them if, as far as I know, the link to that Discord to add yourself on it is on Fountain Pen Network Philippines, the Facebook group. But just in case, I could link you to that, and they'll ask permission from the admins if we could link it in our description as well. Because, you know, the more the merrier. I'm still having dreams of, you know, having a meetup with some members there, even digitally or something like that. I don't know how that's going to work, but yeah. Thank you, Plumang Pinoy Discord server. Because I remember being there after 1 week. My Laban pen had started getting issues with the converter, like the knob got stuck. And then absolute strangers were just like, maybe you can do this, do that. And it was like a 3-hour conversation. And this total stranger, one of the admins, just said, you want to do a video call in one of the rooms? He helped me fix things. I mean, it didn't work out, sadly. The converter's gone. Thank God for universal converters. But that was so supportive. I felt so affirmed that like there was this community so immediately present. Well, I like Discord apparently more than Facebook. So I have to like manage my time on Facebook. So maybe Discord is also accessible to everyone. So community thoughts. You can add yourself on there and maybe, you know, buy a pen. Joke lang.
That for my fifth pen that we were already foreshadowing a while ago.
I'd like to vouch that, actually, the sense of community in the network. Ever since before, everyone has been really nice, actually, supportive. If you have any questions, they'd help you out. I can't say the same with the other hobbies but I've always felt that the community in the fountain pen community here in the Philippines is pretty close-knit. Because we're not that big, right? But growing, but not that big. But yeah, everyone seems to be really nice, friendly. You can just reach out to anyone.
That's true. And the community defies age. Like, it's amazing. Like, thoughts, are you on the group? I know, we obviously know that France is in the Facebook group, but thoughts, you gotta get on it. People of all ages, of all industries, of all professions. I mean, there's a monthly challenge even. There is this movement for those members who are having a difficult time during the pandemic. Like, we love Fountain Pen Network. We also love Fountain Pen Palenka. So yeah, we'll link that if you want to be part of it. Filipino community. Why? Because our listeners are mostly not from the Philippines. So maybe... maybe if we link it, you know, come on, make the community grow. Okay, I am digressing. Sorry, we have more questions that need answers. Yes.
Yeah, so now we're actually interested. Like, has your fountain pens, or have your fountain pens actually contributed to your student life, or what exactly is the probably impact, or maybe how do you feel about studying when you're using a fountain pen? How's the experience?
Okay. So for me, actually, like, the fountain pen has got me back to using paper. So, you know, especially in this digital setup and everything, I was using a lot of, I just typed my essays or whatever. Paper, what's that, right? But I realized also, I kind of take that back. I use a lot of paper as an architecture student, but as like when writing papers and stuff or taking notes, I didn't really consider writing on paper again until I've used a fountain pen. So I think it has benefited me in a lot of ways, actually, because I had this reading. I think it was a 20-page reading, and I was reading it on my laptop, and I realized, like, I decided to print it so I could use my fountain pen. So I was like bored. I didn't want to read it, so I could use my fountain pen to take notes or whatever, or like, you know, yeah. So I realized that I actually took around like half the time on paper. So I was like, where was this all my life? Like, I spent so much time like studying and doing all these things digitally. I could cut the time if I just printed the material. So yeah, that's how it has helped me so far in my student life. So very, very amazing discovery.
But also, yeah, maybe thoughts as your teacher. You knew I was using fountain pens when I was teaching you. You could have just asked.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That's why I came to you, actually, like when my pen wasn't working. I was like, ah, I know Jika. I know Jika knows about this. So yeah.
I used to lend out my vanishing point for the class secretary to take attendance. Hmm. Yeah, okay. Francis' eyes just widened when I said I used to lend it to my student, the VP. Exactly. But like, I was already at that point where it's like, oh, the more, the merrier. Pinable. And thoughts is there now. I am so happy that you are in the phone. Yeah. What about you, Franz?
Oh, on my end, I think it's also just going back to simplicity, if you want to put it that way. Just because everything right now is digital, we're in front of a screen the entire day, and just turning that off, disconnecting, and then writing with your pen, it's something else for me. It's therapeutic in a way, also. Yeah, but to go back to my student, like during my student life, my fountain pens used to be the way I wrote notes. So my first to second year, I would write that. It would help me, especially if we had to write down the subscripts and those symbols, because it's really hard to type that down in the computer, the laptop. So I would be faster compared to my classmates when it comes to writing the formulas, because they would try to do it in the laptop. But yeah, that was really helpful for me. Besides that, I would usually also write down my notes on index cards when it's exam time. Yeah, it's just nice to see like different colors in the index cards, and it would give me more of a mental picture when I answer the test. I'm like, okay, I remember writing this in green. Okay, yeah, this is the answer. So yeah, it helps me rather than typing it all down, just because it's too bland online. There are different ways right now, for sure, like with Notion you can decorate it, but I'm not for that. It's easier for me to write down a piece of paper.
That's really wild, because like, I don't know, there's likely some psychological thing with colors and association and like some theory of learning. Differentiated learning, but all right. Like, what, multimodal? What's our key to?
Yeah, I don't really want to go into education right now. I mean, the details of that. But I do think that there is research regarding retention of information when it's written, or at least, yeah, when you write down the notes compared to actually typing the notes. So there's a difference in terms of retention. I think it really has something to do more of your muscle memory or like your reflexes. So basically, your body also is in the whole process of, you know, absorbing the information. But yeah, anyways, geeky education and psychology stuff. So let's move on to the next part. So probably our last question for you guys would be, why do you think other young ones or young people should join the hobby? I mean, probably for some people who are getting into the hobby, most of them are a bit older already, probably working already. Or another profile that I did notice, which is an interesting contrast with the kind of market I usually find in Palenque, is that those who usually buy my pens are girls. But yeah, most of them are girls. And I remember my most recent buyer was, I think she just graduated from high school. So she's pretty much your age or probably starting college, and she's a girl. So what are your thoughts about people starting the hobby as early as probably in their 20s or early 20s, or maybe even 19 and 18?
Okay, so for me, I think one of the good things about fountain pens is that there is, some people may think it's like backward, like, why are you using a fountain pen? We have ballpoint pens, we have laptops to type your notes, you don't need paper anymore, right? So I think one great advantage to these things is that you really get to slow down and just appreciate. So actually, most of the time I use my fountain pens is when I try to calm down. I'm actually like half into a social media break right now, but only half, not fully in it yet. So when I'm feeling overwhelmed, especially like actually 2 weeks ago, I was having I wasn't done with school yet. I was having my finals, so I was like, drawing and stuff like that, and cramming and everything. So one way of calming down is I allot 10 minutes with my pen, and I sit down and I just write. I write my thoughts. I write what's happening around me. And I find that it really calms me down. It slows down because sometimes it slows down everything, because sometimes so many things are happening at such a fast rate, you tend to forget what's really important, and you forget to enjoy the present. So I think, yeah, it's one way. I think you can have other hobbies to, you know, enjoy the present, but I think it's one way, and it's an interesting way to do that. So yeah.
I'd like to second just what Todd said. That's yeah, it's really very important to slow down after a really fast day. I guess it also helps your mental state of mind. That okay, we're human, we're not robots, like just faced in front of a screen the entire day. But besides that, I would also recommend young people to join the hobby, even if they just get one pen is enough. Like as harsh it is to say, it's enough, but yeah, there's a sense of responsibility and caring if you have a pen that you spent for, even if it's like a Pilot Kakuno or anything affordable, there's still a sense of responsibility needed. Just even with the cleaning of the pen, that's very important, filling it up with ink. So it's really just, you have a connection with your material things, which we usually take for granted also, just because, okay, it's material, I can just throw it away. You know, that's the consumeristic mindset. But yeah, I think it also helped me as a person not to lose any of my pens, because yeah, I end up like taking care of it talaga. Yeah. I can say the same thing for the other hobbies. I'm not like, if you talk to the car people, they'd be like, oh, I'd rather have a manual over an automatic, just because they feel more one with their car. The same with watch people. There's something with the manual movement and an automatic mechanical movement compared to a quartz movement. So it's all about like the heart of it all. Yeah,
super killing. All right. Untranslatable Tagalog term, kilig, but it's like this mix of excitement and affirmation and warmth and fuzziness with everything that you guys said. Because, one, you're our former students, so to hear this stuff coming from you, it's like, we did something right!
I know!
Feel so affirmed. But also, I never thought of it that way, Franz, especially the whole materialistic being one with the object kind of thing, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I like the fact that, and the thoughts also said this, that you allot a certain period of time just to do that one thing is amazing, because I don't do that, or I didn't do that up until, you know, the pandemic happened and I had to return, or I felt like I had to return to my hobby, which is the fountain pen. So like, it's amazing.
That's a really nice take when it comes to this whole process of acquisition. Actually, Franz, you can come up with a theory on this, or like a movement about object material something. There's this thing called historical materialism that maybe you can have a perspective about materials. But yeah, that's really interesting. It's like, those are the things that I wanted to say, or like I wanted to articulate, but you had the right words at the right moment. And that's really a nice way to actually even capture this whole hobby in a perspective, even interestingly, from someone who is still young but has been in the hobby for quite some time already, and also someone who's new and is also young. And you guys really have, you know, started to find a kind of that passion for fountain pens, for this kind of hobby, which usually is associated with a hobby that older people actually pursue.
Thanks for sharing your experiences today. They're really unique, huh? They're really unique experiences, because often the pen noobs, they come in their 20s or a bit later. So your experiences for the listeners who just might be new ones, you know, who happen to stumble upon this podcast and all the other relevant podcasts, will be very relevant to them. So thanks, guys, for coming over today. And I hope that at one point in time, there's a part two. Bring your other student pen friends, okay? And maybe we can have that episode recorded sometime in the future. So that's it. Is that it? Is that it, Ryan?
That's it for today's episode of Pen
Noobs.
Noobs.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Thoughts and
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.